Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison, a contributor over at ninernoise.com. And back with me from his little mini hiatus, has been off gallivanting throughout the world, still doing a little bit of that. Akshaz, David Willa. Akshaz, good to have you back, man. We missed you on the draft preview, but it's good to have you back. How you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing good, Robert. Excited to be back. So sad that I couldn't make it to the draft preview, but, you know, Jeremy is incredible. He's the draft whiz. So I think fall down a little bit. So I'm glad he could shine.
I know we missed out on our first ever tri-continental podcast. That would have been fun, though. But nonetheless, he was really the number of things that he knew. And I didn't like, I gave him a little prep. I was like, you know, we're going to talk about this generally, but then occasionally a question would just sort of pop in my head and I'd be like, so what do you think about this? And he would just kind of run with it. I was like, you know, a lot of things about a lot of things. So I'm definitely interested in his perspective on some of this too, to see what he thinks about how the draft went. But he's not here with us today, so we are going to do our best to kind of get through this conversation. Obviously the NFL draft happened last weekend. Time flies when you're having fun. We're recording here on, well, it's May 5th for me. Is it still May 5th for you? Is it still daytime hours? I don't know.
We are still in May 5th, luckily.
All right, cool. Well, a happy Cinco de Mayo to you from wherever you might be. we're about a week out from the draft, which is nice because it's allowed things to settle. We've got all the draft picks in. We know who the undrafted free agents that are coming in are. We know some other things that have happened, roster move wise and that sort of thing. And we're starting to see essentially what the 90-man roster is going to look like as we head into offseason programs. The Niners just had, what do they call these things that they do over the May? I guess they're kind of non-mandatory workout things. I'm not really sure. All these different items that they get to. This is not technically the OTAs are later, right? This is just a kind of like a workout, hangout, get to know everybody kind of thing that they just got done. I know that, but they have rookie mini camp next weekend, I believe, and then there's not really anything going on till OTAs and training camp in the summertime. So, looking forward to seeing that. Are you getting all the content out there where you are from Santa Clara, checking out all the cool pictures of people running around in shorts and stuff?
You know what, I am not able to get much of the content. And the reason is, so normally in the US, my morning routine is wake up, like as I'm getting ready, I just search up like Niners and I just read through everything that basically pops up first page. And you guys should do that as well, because then you'll see some of our articles, hopefully, and we'll get great analysis from the Niner Noise team. But where I'm at right now, there's like this, I have to like get to the English articles because my internet is in the language of the country I'm at. And then like, it's just like ESPN, like team profiles. And it takes a long time to get to any like actual content. So I've been, I go digging for stuff. And I've been less in the loop for this draft, just like the 49ers were not in the first two rounds. So.
Well said. They kind of sat out the first couple of days. I think obviously that was to be expected, having traded away their first round picks since 2 years ago, and then got rid of their second round pick and one of their and their actual third round pick for this year with the Christian McCaffrey trade. It's kind of exciting if you've if you check out the these like way too early 2024 mock drafts. Guess who's back in the first round, baby? so that's kind of exciting. Been ignoring the first round mock draft for basically 2 years now. It's like, okay, that's cool. But they're back in it, so we'll see how that goes. But that's a way on down the line thing, and not likely to be an issue at this point. So what we're going to do today is kind of talk briefly about the 49ers rookie class, both the draft itself. So we'll look at the, I think, 9 players they ended up taking, which is actually a lot more just in a general sense than I sort of expected them to take. They had 11 picks, but I was like, come on, there's not a lot of spots left on this team. Like, are they really going to draft, 9, 10 players? And as it turns out, they were. We'll see how that shakes out as we get through training camp and all that stuff, but it was kind of interesting. And then I think the number of undrafted free agents is up to 12 now. They released an initial list of 11, and then they did add another name that we'll get into here in a little bit. But so we'll just talk about the draft first, and then we'll talk about the undrafted guys and kind of see what we think about this rookie class. And if we want to hone in on any particular players, we can do that. So how's that sound?
Let's jump right in.
All right, let's do it. Okay, so as we noted, the Niners did not have a first or second round pick, and their first pick was scheduled for number 99 overall, which was a compensatory pick. They ended up trading up to number 87. I think they had to give up one of those third round compensatory picks and then like one of their day 3 picks to get up from 99 to 87. And with that pick, they took Jair Brown, a safety out of Penn State. That was the number 87 overall pick in the third round. From there, they ended up taking their 99th pick overall, kicker Jake Moody out of Michigan. 2 picks later, with number 101 overall, again, another compensatory pick, Cameron Latu, a tight end out of Alabama. Then they didn't have anything in round 4. And then we get to round 5. Pick 155, Darrell Luter Jr., a cornerback out of South Alabama. And then later in the 5th round, 173 overall, Robert Beal Jr., a defensive lineman, primarily a defensive end, edge rusher type guy, with pick 173, Robert Beal Jr. out of Georgia. Then with pick 216 in 6th round, they took linebacker D. Winters out of TCU. With pick 247 in the 7th round, they took Braden Willis, a tight end out of Oklahoma. That's right, doubled up on the tight ends. And then with their last pick in the draft, second to last pick, they took wide receiver Ronnie Bell out of Michigan, 253 overall. And then their last pick of this draft was pick 255, where they took linebacker Jalen Graham out of Purdue. So that's a lot of names. hopefully... you have it there in front of you. But if not, we can pinpoint a couple of things. But I guess first of all, let's talk about if there are just sort of generally speaking, what'd you think of this draft class in a general sense? Did anything jump out at you and that was like a major surprise, other than maybe the obvious that you're like, okay, this is the thing we need to talk about.
All right, so I'm gonna leave the obvious for a little bit because we are gonna absolutely talk about the selection at 99 overall. But I think the overall impression I have of this class, and little promo as always, please, if you want to find out more about my thoughts, go to ninernoise.com because this is my latest article on the matter. I think it's the correct like play for a team that's probably a top 5 roster at worst in the NFL, quarterback position notwithstanding. Like, there's a lot of future picks here and players who have the capacity to be great if possible, or if like you unlock this part of their development or that part. And I mean, you're not really going to find starters past round 3 with great regularity. So players like Darrell Luther Jr., who has like terrific size and length and speed, the cornerback position, that's a great pick to basically get in your system, have him push a couple guys potentially. You know, if all things go well, he can slot in potentially and push Diomedere and Lenore. And Robert Beal Jr., who might be the quickest edge rusher they have right now, get him in basically the Chris Korosek factory, let him manufacture, hone his skills, and, you know, come next year, you have a really solid edge rusher opposite Bosa. I like that. I like that sentiment. I think that's the right way to attack this roster, especially because as we get closer and closer to Trey Lance's rookie deal coming up and the Niners making a decision on him and Brock Purdy's rookie deal coming up and just the rest of this roster, Bosa's getting his big deal soon, Ayuk has to get paid soon, et cetera, et cetera. Like, these are the type of hard decisions you have to make as an organization. You either pay everyone now and kind of deal with the consequences later, as like the Rams did or the Saints did, or you rebuild and reload and you let good players go thinking that you can restock essentially in the draft. And if you can, if any of these guys hit, that's such a huge deal. For their third round selections, besides the obvious, which again, I'm purposefully saying as little as possible because that's going to be a whole
thing. It's its own conversation, right? For sure.
I think Jair Brown is a sensible pick. I think there's talks that Steve Wilks will move into three safety sets at times. So you get a guy who can contribute on the field rookie year. And I think, you know, this is the type of thing you want to do if you have a guy like Deshaun Gibson back there, is get a young guy, have him push Gibson a little bit. If Brown wins the job outright, that's great. That's what you want. If he doesn't, that's why Gibson's in play. His 40-yard dash is a bit of a concern. And Matt Barrows has a great article on The Athletic, which is behind a paywall, obviously. But if you can get to it, you should. Where, okay, I'm gonna Google his name because otherwise I'm going to mess it up. It's the former 49ers GM, and I can't, Scott McLuhan. Thank you. Scott McLuhan basically goes through the Niners picks with Matt.
Yeah.
And his like point on Brown is that he thinks Brown's foot speed is bad. Then Kyle Posey at Niners Nation makes a great point about that Brown seems to have the right instincts. The point is, he's a lot like Hufanga insofar as you don't really know if he's going to wow you as an athlete per se, but he's definitely built of the right stuff and seems very, very talented. I think that's a guy you want back there. Then Cameron Latu's as a secondary tight end is one of those guys who you think can make somewhat of an impact this year. But that's really a next year pick because he barely played tight end at Alabama. So I like the Brown pick. I'm a little iffy on Latu as a pick just because I think you want a guy, given the way the roster is right now, who's going to come in and give you quality TE2 snaps immediately. And I don't know if he's the guy for that. But beyond that, I think they're like smart, reasonable selections to build depth for a roster that really is like pretty much set at every starter position.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's right. We were talking about that in the lead up to the draft. I think Jeremy and I talked about that a little bit. When you're good, one of the things that you have to do with your draft is think a little bit about now, but also think a lot about next year. Like they did that with the Aaron Banks pick. Theoretically, that was what Trey Lance's selection was supposed to be. It wasn't for that the year they picked him because they were planning on bringing him up slowly, but it was for, you know, hopefully 10 years down the line. We'll see how that works out. But they've tended to do that, especially over the last couple of years when they've moved from being really bad when Lynch and Shanahan got here to kind of moving into that contention window starting in 2019. They've really been very careful about making sure that their selections are not necessarily about, can this guy step in immediately? But can this be a guy that will be on our team for a long period of time? And they get a lot of flack for that. Like the Aaron Banks pick looked really horrible in the moment when he didn't contribute as a second round pick in his rookie year. But now everybody's kind of like, oh, okay, we get it. Like, you developed him, and now he's a really solid starting guard in the NFL. So nobody's talking about it anymore. Same kind of thing, as you said, with Jair Brown. Like, maybe he plays. He probably has a special teams role on this team, you know, in 2023. But I think this is a pick for let Tashawn Gibson kind of work with him and groom him. Because I don't get the impression at this point that Tashawn Gibson's like, oh, you know, this is my job, you can't come in and take it. He wasn't even sure if he was going to come back this year. So you sort of got the impression the Niners probably communicated to him, like, hey, we're going to draft somebody who we eventually want to take over as the starter, hopefully. And if you can come in and kind of be in the room and help these guys out, that'd be great. But yeah, I think otherwise this is going to be a hard team for these rookies to crack, even draft picks, especially undrafted guys, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I mean, outside of the third round guys, and maybe you could make a case for, you know, somebody like Luter Jr. or Robert Beal or somebody like that. But when you get later into the picks there in the sixth, seventh rounders, like, where do these guys go? I mean, certainly there's a chance that Braden Willis can beat out Ross Dwelly and Charlie Warner, and you end up with two rookie tight ends behind George Kittle, possibly. I don't know. Is that what they want? I don't know. But, you know, there's an opportunity that D Winners could come in and say, hey, I'm going to take over the third linebacker spot or the fourth linebacker spot. And they run with, you know, Warner and Alshier and maybe Oren Burks and D Winners. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I mean, it's certainly going to be interesting what they do with that. But there is, of course, the funny thing is that, and we'll just get into this because we might as well just kick the door open, right? There's one player on this team that is pretty much all but guaranteed a starting job. And that is the pick that we have been alluding to. The second pick of the draft for the 49ers, number 99 overall, kicker Jake Moody out of Michigan. So let's do it. let's get into it. Let's do the thing.
So I saw that John Lynch said that they drafted Moody at 99 because he wasn't going to fall to them in the fifth round, and because we heard that teams were thinking about trading up to select Moody before the Niners. All that said, I don't care. I mean, if someone wants to take a kicker, if like pick 91, let them. I don't understand. Three parts of me to this.
Yeah,
basic football fan, like, just pure, like, goes with, oh my god, what is my team doing, or wow, that's incredible. I hate this pick so much, just because in the third round, there's so many talented players you can get. The third round is it's a place where, like, you can get starters. You can get day one starters or core day one players. And to spend it on a kicker seems like crazy to me. Now, we are talking about how good the Niners are. And the two places they struggled with a lot last year were on special teams, were kickoffs and field goals. And I think with that in mind, there's a very small part of me that understands the idea of Robbie Gould isn't coming back.
Right.
And we need a guy with a stronger leg anyway. Let's get the best kicker in college, put him back there, and let's not worry about it anymore. We don't really have positions of need. So we can, like, splurge a little bit. This is a luxury pick. Mm-hmm. In a vacuum, I think that's a fine decision, even though I think Jake Moody's statistics himself do not tend really well to adding the element of kicking that, you know, that the 49ers were missing Robbie Gould, which is, like, high accuracy on long-distance kicks. But the final point of just, like, sheer value, I think the 49ers do a great job of kind of like bending the idea of positional value really well. They pay players who are traditionally not like supposed to get high-end salaries because these players do really unique things. George Kittle blocks as well as most linemen and catches as well as most receivers. So they gave him a lot of money because he allows them to do unique things in their offense. Same thing with Christian McCaffrey. Same thing with Deebo Samuel. Then on defense, same thing with Fred Warner. And like now we have Javon Hargrave and like Javon Hargrave. My bad.
Javon, yeah. Javon, Javon. It's very confusing.
Javon Hargrave. Like, these are luxury selections in a way, but these players change the calculus of, like, your team. But no one, you can't tell me outside of Justin Tucker that a kicker in the NFL is so uniquely, like, important. Justin Tucker is, like, incredible. He's might go down as the greatest kicker of all time. He's the one kicker who I could understand being like, we will give him a little extra money. We will make sure he's on our team because the guy can kick from like 60 yards and just like he's perfect. That's the type of guy where you're like, okay, kickers is a priority. But Jake Moody has to, he doesn't have to be as good as Robbie Gould. He has to be far and away like a top three kicker in the NFL, plus be one of the best like kickoff specialists, plus add all the distance the 49ers need for this pick to even be remotely defensible. Because this is a pick where you cannot, like, when it comes to the draft, the way I view it is that most of the time you should value process over results. Like, sometimes you miss on a player, and that's true. But if you're like attacking the draft in the right way, getting like high value picks and like taking advantage of like players who drop, getting good value for your picks, focusing on places that you think like the draft is strong at, sometimes you just miss on an evaluation. That's fine, but you'll be right more often than you're wrong. But there is no amount of like results that can justify the process of drafting a kicker in the third round. Or, He needs to be a 49er for like 15 plus years. And he needs to be incredible for day one. Otherwise, this was an absolutely absurd pick, especially because, like you mentioned, Robert, not all these seventh round picks are going to make the roster. And instead of taking Cameron Latu, if you package two sevenths and 99, move up and take Darnell Washington Jr., the tight end from Georgia, as opposed to taking Moody and then taking Latu, now you probably have a more like ready now receiving threat for you, plus another third round pick to maybe take a Blake Freeland, who's an offensive tackle who is very high regarded, or Keely Ringo, a corner from Georgia who slipped all the way to the fourth round. Like, the draft works when you are able to take advantage of like talent that's sliding and places of value in the draft. And when you waste a third round pick on a kicker, you're forcing yourself into a box. So yeah, I was
very, did you have an opinion on that? I didn't even know. I'm just kidding. I don't feel quite as strongly about it because I feel like if he is a consistent and reliable kicker for, as you say, 10, 15 years, then maybe people will kind of, it'll be like, oh, okay, well, whatever. The other thing is they do this every year. I feel like this is not obviously draft a kicker, but it feels like every year there's one or two draft picks where you have to go, what was the thought process here? Like, and clearly they think about it because they always have an explanation for it. You talked about they knew that Moody was going to make it through the fourth round and yada yada. And so there's rationale. Whether or not it's rationale that makes sense or that we like is another thing altogether, right? But you know, I generally I'm with you. I think is there a massive difference between Jake Moody and say one of the other kickers that didn't get drafted at all, or that might have been a seventh round draft pick, or might have been an undrafted guy? I don't know. I think it's hard to split hairs with kickers. Some of it is about opportunity and some of it is about situation and that sort of thing. So there must be something that they saw that made them jump at him specifically, I guess. I don't know. I know nothing about kicking, so I can't really say. But like I said, this is something that I'm getting to the point where I'm like, okay, like I'm just, you go into the draft and you like sort of brace yourself when they get into day three or day end of day two into day three, where you're just like, okay, they're going to pick somebody here that's going to make me go, okay, like what's going on here? Now they have the benefit, as I was alluding to earlier, of not having to hit on all these draft picks. They also tend to do really well in the undrafted guys area. But as far as the kicker goes, I think, I don't know. I get it, because like this is the only position that they needed, right? This is literally the only position that they knew the guy that they drafted was going to walk in and probably be the starter, barring some sort of catastrophic event. Everybody else that they drafted, everybody else that they brought in, it's probably not going to be the case, right? And they have the opportunity to do so, to maybe supplant somebody in front of them, but Jake Moody's the only guy who's walking in like, okay, well, you're the kicker, more than likely, unless Zane Gonzalez beats him out or something, and that would be truly terrifying and not good at all. But I don't know. I'm disappointed, like, because it felt early. I wanted Moody to be the guy, but the third round is just like, okay, well, there we go. But I agree with your thought about like making sure that we're getting value at the right places. But as I said, I don't know about you, and I'm starting to just kind of be like, all right, well, this is what they do. They tend to overvalue guys. And so that thought, like the fact that they give a lot of money to a guy like, to the guys that you mentioned, you didn't even talk about Kyle Juszczyk and how much money they pay him, relative to teams that don't have fullbacks at all or other teams that do have fullbacks. That's just kind of something that they do. And it's a luxury that they have because of the quarterback situation that they have, where they're not paying a guy, you know, $35, $40, $50 million a year. And so that tends to let them do things a little bit differently and kind of get away with it. You know what I mean?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, I do. I just think, like, I agree with the idea that, like, they have the luxury with it. And I think, I don't know. I just can't really imagine a world where Jake Moody justifies his third round pick. I mean, so let's, from 2019 on, we have Jalen Hurd, then Trey Sermon.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who they took in 2020. I don't think it was Trey Sermon, but
They did Sermon and then
Ambry. So anyway,
I think Ambry Thomas was a third. I think you're right. No, I don't remember. The third round is their blind spot. Let's just say that.
We have what's it called? Tyrion Davis.
The Jalen Hurd thing was a good theory. It just didn't. That wasn't their fault necessarily.
What's it called? Tyrion Davis Price, even Joe Williams Price, in the fourth, right? In the fourth, in the first draft. Like all these guys, all of these players who, with the exception of Ty Davis Price, who we don't really know, but given the fact that Jordan Mason seems to have like displaced him on the depth chart and now Christian McCaffrey's here, that it's already looking like there's just a ceiling to how much he can help this team. All of those players were better selections than Moody. Just on the like sheer basis of like, what can a good running back give you? What can a good receiver give you? And what can like a good kicker relative to other players? And it's just like, I would rather they've taken another running back.
Really?
I think so. Like, I agree. I think going into this draft, if they were going to take a kicker, I think Moody was the guy. And I'm glad that they got the guy. But they, like, basically throw in a nothing burger flyer for Zane Gonzalez. And you think for a second, wow, they really get it. No more Robbie Gould. Instead, you get cheap at kicker, get a guy who can probably be really good and figure it out on the fly. I think people, in the final thing, before we like move on to not talking about kickers, I think the reason why this annoys me a little more than like beyond all the other reasons I said is because the 49ers have a top two tight end in the league, a top three, and this is like the most conservative estimates I can give for each player, a top three running back in the league, like the best left tackle in the league, a two top 30 receivers, maybe, I don't know. I think both Ayuk and Samuel are really highly regarded now, and one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. With Brock Purdy, if he's healthy, who played like one of the best quarterbacks the NFL had seen last year. And they're spending this much capital on a kicker. They should be focusing more on finding ways to be extra aggressive. Like drafting a kicker or like spending as much as they did on Robbie Gould is a multi like faceted issue, because it's not just the fact that you're spending a lot on a position that is like at its core not as important as other ones. You're also basically, you're creating the mindset of not being as aggressive because now you have this really good kicker and now you focus and lean on him more. And this is the team that with this defense and this offense could be uber aggressive and be completely fine. And I mean, in the NFC Championship game before Brock Purdy's elbow gave out and things like went turned to garbage and pain and suffering, not to bring up bad memories. One of the big things the Eagles did was they were aggressive on fourth downs throughout the game. Their first touchdown came on a fourth down conversion, which obviously
did it though.
Okay. The point is they were aggressive enough to be in a position to get a call go their way. And I right. think we've seen snippets of Shanahan get very aggressive, ironically, usually with Trey Lance, which whole thing we could get into about Shanahan aggressiveness. But right. I don't like the idea of like having a kicker be such a like critical part of how you're going to call a game, because that you, it seems like they're just limiting their own chances. And I understand the idea of I have one of the best like defenses in the NFL. If I get 3 points, I'll probably win. But like, I think at this point, it is like incredibly and increasingly obvious that that's the wrong way to view it. The right way to view it is I have one of the best defenses in the NFL. If I go for it on fourth down, I probably won't give anything up. So I think there's just a bad mindset this team has about special teams. Like, I just think they think about special teams the wrong way. And it's one of the few things that I think the 49ers genuinely struggle in is aggressiveness. And I think we've seen it not necessarily explicitly directly come back to haunt them, but I certainly think the idea that they don't push the pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, words.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem they've had with getting over this proverbial hump, so to speak. So I don't know. Yeah. I think I have a larger issue with the selection.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. That is a larger issue, and that's not an anti Jake Moody thing. And to be clear, I don't think either of us are anti Jake Moody. We're just like, could we have figured out a different way to get Jake Moody? Probably not. I mean, in that logical way, I understand. Like, if Jake Moody was the guy that you wanted, was there another way for the 49ers to get him More than likely not. Like, unless they were willing to sell the farm. And I think people would have lost their minds just as much about that too, right? If you trade three more draft picks to get move up in the back into the fourth round and draft a kicker too, I think that would have been crazy as well. But I agree with you. I think we could talk a long time about the aggressiveness of the organization and their stance on that, but we will not. That will be another thing for another time. All right, so let's talk about the undrafted free agent class. As I said, they initially signed 11 guys. This was as of May 1st, and then a couple days later, they ended up bringing in a 12th undrafted guy, which is interesting. So I'll just go through the list again, and if any names jump out at you as guys that you're like, oh, that let's talk about him, we can do that. So we have Ronald Awatt, a running back out of Texas El Paso. We have Jack Coletto, a fullback, technically listed as a fullback. Apparently he's a fullback, defense or linebacker, quarterback. He's done a little bit of everything out of Oregon State. Joey Fisher, an offensive lineman out of Shepherd, which is a school I did not know existed until just a few days ago. Deshaun Jameson, a cornerback out of Texas. Kalon Laybourne, a running back out of Marshall. Corey Luciano, an offensive lineman out of Washington. Jim Manning, an offensive lineman out of Hawaii. Mariano Sori Marin, a linebacker out of Minnesota. Spencer Wagey, I think is how you say that, a defensive lineman out of North Dakota State. Shea Wyatt, a wide receiver out of Tulane. Avery Young, a safety out of Rutgers. That was the original group. And then they brought in on Wednesday, I think it was, a wide receiver, most recently from East Carolina, although he went to Toledo as well. He transferred to TCU in 2021. His name is Isaiah Winstead. He's a 6'4", 213-pound wide receiver who had 88 receptions for 1,085 yards and 6 touchdowns for East Carolina in 2022. So there's interesting things there. So, again, let's talk, you know, about, generally speaking, what we think about the undrafted class. Anything stand out to you there? Any names in particular?
I think broad strokes first. This is the 49ers usually find a guy in the undrafted class, which is a testament to their work that they can find someone. But I think this is the hardest year for an undrafted guy to make the roster, because this process that you talked about with Jeremy and that I mentioned, that we mentioned today as well, is of drafting for the future, means that guys who we as fans are like, okay, I don't really know what this guy's doing, is coming back better this year. So these undrafted rookies have to not only compete with the drafted rookies and the like already established players, you have these like second year undrafted players who they kept on the practice squad, guys like Jason Pillar, Quantrez Knight, who are now going to likely have gotten much better staying in the system and now get another shot at it. So I would be surprised if more than one, if even one undrafted player makes the roster. I think a lot of this is just getting guys in camp to kind of see how they play. And if you like him, you keep him on the practice squad and figure it out from there. The one guy who I think is interesting is Jack Coletto, simply because he's a fullback, linebacker, tight end, quarterback. Like, he is the equivalent of Taysom Hill, although Scott...
We don't talk about him here. No, just kidding.
This is true. In honor of former podcast hosts who I think rightfully despises the Taysom Hill experience.
But it wasn't even our team. I don't understand it, but anyway.
No. I think the thing about Coletto is that he's not a great athlete by like NFL standards. And I think that matters because Taysom Hill works in some ways. Taysom Hill is such a crazy... Okay, not to talk too much about Taysom Hill, but he had like 2 season-ending injuries at BYU. It was always a question of could he stay healthy. And by the time he gets to the NFL, like, his, like, weird hybrid role is a byproduct of him just not really being able to, like, make it as a quarterback per se because of a lot of things. And you just take advantage of a guy who's really big and really strong and really fast, and you're like, okay, let's see what we can do here. I think Coletto is an interesting player because he gives mad genius Kyle Shanahan a lot of different ways to kind of play around with things, but I can't really see much out of it per se, just because Kyle Juszczyk is still on this roster, and Coletto, that's going to be a hard, like, sell to get Coletto on the 53 with Juszczyk already there. And then Jason Poe, undrafted free agent last year, plays some fullback because he's like 6 foot, 5'10", but like 330 pounds and like a battering ram. Like, yeah, the man is like, there's just so much competition. But I think if there's any name here that I'm interested in, it would be Coletto.
Yeah. Speaking of Jason Poe, Peter Panacy had him on a special bonus episode of the podcast last week. So if you didn't get a chance to check that out, go ahead and check that out, and you can listen to Jason chat with Peter for a little bit. Yeah, the Jack Coletto thing is very interesting to me as well, simply because if he ends up on the practice squad, think of all the things that they're going to use him for. Be like, all right, you're going to be the quarterback this week. Okay, but now you're going to be this guy, and like, he's going to be able to serve a lot of purposes. I'm interested in two names. The first is Joey Fisher out of Shepherd. Mostly because I just saw some videos of him, and he just looked like granted, he went to Shepherd. I think it's like a D3 school or something like that. So he was a big man among mostly people that were much smaller than and less physically gifted than him. But he looks like he's got some mauler in him. So it'll be really interesting to see. Obviously, he's, given where he's coming from, he's probably just like Jason Poe or somebody like that, because he was coming out of Mercer. A situation where he stands a really good chance to make the practice squad at the end of all this, especially if he has a good training camp. And then that's a guy you build up. You get him a little bit stronger. You get him working on some skills. And they have a really good offensive line staff with the 49ers. So I think that there's a good opportunity there for him to kind of slide into a position where, you know, a couple of years ago, we didn't think of like Colton McKivitz as like a starting offensive line option. But he worked his way through the ranks and, you know, worked on the practice squad, got through that. And now it looks like that's the direction they're going to go. And so that's, like you were saying, the opportunity to build and grow and, you know, grasp these chances when they come is interesting. The other one that stands out to me, and again, this is mostly like Twitter hype videos kind of thing, is their last undrafted free agent that they brought in. That's Isaiah Winstead. If you are interested, go check out some videos of this guy. Again, like I said, he's 6'4", 213, so he's a really large human being, and he moves quite quickly. He's got some good shimmy, gives some good shake to him. He could be an interesting guy as a sort of back end of the roster wide receiver. Now, obviously, there's a lot of names there, but there's also some openings, right, along the wide receiver position. And I think if there is some place where a sort of out of the nowhere kind of guy could come in and take a spot, because outside of Deebo Samuel, outside of Brandon Ayuk, I suppose you could say somebody like Juwan Jennings and Ray-Ray McCloud are pretty well locked into the roster, but I don't think that's necessarily true, at least with Jennings. I don't know that they're going to be like, okay, you are guaranteed to be on this team, but I think he's going to have to prove his worth. He had a little bit of a down year comparatively last year. And then Danny Gray's obviously got a lot of work to do to show his value after being a high draft pick last year. And then they drafted Ronnie Bell in the seventh round or sixth round or whatever this year. So he's not guaranteed a roster spot for sure. He's the type of guy they're probably going to want to slip onto the practice squad if they can. He looks like a Shanahan guy. I know we didn't talk about him at all, but he's got that sort of like get him the ball in space and let him run kind of thing. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, Isaiah Winstead, a very interesting kind of player. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to look at him, but if you do have a moment, go and look up some of his tape. It's very interesting.
I will take a look, because I think wide receiver is a really interesting spot for the 49ers. You mentioned obviously Ayuk and Debo are very much locked in. Denny Gray went through the Shanahan treatment as all receivers who end up being pretty good or getting cut due. And I think beyond that, McLeod will probably stay because of his contract and also because he was not bad at punt returns. And yeah, that was the one good thing about special teams. But I think for sure Jennings is a guy who they might be looking to kind of push, not only with the addition of Chris Conley, but also just a 6'4", 213 guy who moves quickly. That sounds like a guy who's trying to fill the Juwan Jennings big slot role. So
right,
it's going to be it's going to be an interesting – I just think they're doing a good job of, like, you get guys in who you're pushing for very certain spots, and, mm-hmm, you know, sometimes you strike gold, sometimes you don't. But I don't know. It's a hard roster to break.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's you'll probably be seeing some 53 man roster projections here from Nine and Noise here pretty soon. And I think, and I did one just before the draft, and I found that I was like, I don't know where rookies are going to slide in. Now, obviously, I didn't know which rookies were going to come in where, and obviously their draft position to a certain extent plays a role in how likely they are to make the roster. So like right now, I feel like I had a slot open for a safety, a rookie safety. And I think that's pretty well going to be set up, right? If J.I. Brown doesn't make the roster, then we're looking at something in trouble, right? And obviously I also was under the impression that they were going to have a rookie kicker this year too. So, but other than that, there's not a lot of places, you know. One of these tight ends probably makes the roster. You kind of hope it's that Latu proves his worth because he's the higher round pick, but you take whichever one is the most impactful. And there's not really a lot of places along the offensive line for any of these undrafted offensive linemen to take roles. So there might be a slot or two for a tight end. Wide receiver might be interesting. I think the running backs room is in pretty good shape. They obviously didn't draft or bring in an undrafted quarterback, although they did sign Brian Allen. Is that the guy from the Bengals?
Brandon Allen.
Sorry, there's so many B Allen guys in the league. Yeah, Brandon Allen, more than likely just a camp body because, you know, Brock Purdy can't throw a football yet. So there's that whole thing to think about. But other than that, I can't think of a place where it's like there's a wide open hole. Somebody come in and take it. So it'll be hard for all the draft picks outside of maybe the third rounders and all these undrafted guys to make this roster.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think the draft always gets me excited for the season, as I think it does for everyone, because you start thinking about the roster. But this is one of those teams, like the 49ers are going to run it back, adding Javon Hargrave to the mix. Yep. And basically, for the most part, there it's the same team trying to do everything. And you got to hope either Purdy is healthy or Lance has progressed, or, oh my God, Darnold is okay. Not to get away from the draft, but Matt Maiocco, I saw this really recently, said that he thinks Sam Darnold is one of the most, if not the most talented throwers in the football the 49ers have had in their building. And sure, maybe
I'm not wrong.
Clearly something's not going right. If I don't know. The point is, there's so much. It's the same question. It is every year. And I think we're all tired of basically the discussion, which is just, if they figure out who's their quarterback, this is the team, and they just got to have that guy in there. So the draft doesn't answer that question because the answers are on the roster. But I think the draft this year was a good reminder of just like how lucky, in a way, we are as fans to be fans of the 49ers right now, because it's just simply how good this team is.
Yeah.
Now, we're not that super lucky because the Eagles just like added Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith, because of course they did. So, you know, there's always competition and they're not the only good team, but this is a really talented roster when you're talking about third round picks being maybe special teams players, definitely backups. There's just no way the draft can really upgrade the roster.
Yeah. And this is the last thing I'll say about it, and we'll wrap things up for this one. The interesting thing to me about all of this, and this is draft related, this is just roster related, is the fact that in spite of not knowing who the quarterback is going to be and all that stuff, people still think this team can like compete for a Super Bowl, which is just wild to me. And just a testament to the quality of all the other players in the building, like how good the roster is, how good the offense is, regardless of who the quarterback is, and how good the offensive coaching staff is. I think that's just, it's crazy to me that they're still like a top five team in the NFL, and everybody's like, yeah, but they don't have a quarterback. And it's like, we don't care. The other four teams, like I just saw like a power ranking thing today, and take with those as you will. And it's like Chiefs, Eagles, no surprise there, right? Bengals, Buffalo, 49ers. And what do those other four teams all have in common? They all have starting quarterbacks who are making a lot of money right now. Well, Joe Burrow will be. But they're entrenched starting quarterbacks who are going to be with those teams for years to come. And the 49ers are still like, well, we'll figure it out, I guess. It's good. And they're still up there, which is just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we joked last year about, and just throughout the season, about, oh, what's the question? Who's the starter? Wow, we're going to talk about the quarterback again. And yeah, we're talking about the quarterback again. But it's just the teams in the NFC West, Seahawks and Cardinals specifically, definitely got a lot better. But it's just, it's the most interesting thing when you have a roster with this much, like the championship window is right now. And yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just, what more can you say than just like, I wish it was September, minus the part that I don't really want to skip summer, but I wish it was, I wish it was September insofar as it was football season.
There you go. Well, as usual, you've capped us off on an excellent note, Akjaz. So, good to have you back, man. Good to chat with you about this draft class. So, we'll keep pressing on. We're getting into the dull period here, so it might be, you know, a little less frequent from us throughout the next couple of months, but we'll still be here checking in on different things periodically. So, until then, thanks for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. As always, check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis, and be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.